Pray with me, please. Father, in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus, in your great name, I pray a divine hedge of protection over this congregation, over every member and every member's family member and extended family. And I plead a covering of the blood of Jesus over all of us today. And I pray, God, that what we have just experienced, how we have worshiped you, I pray that we will come to know and come to realize and come to understand, but God, more importantly, we will begin to practice the truth of your word. I pray, God, this morning that you have been glorified in our time of worship. And I pray now that you will be glorified and praised in our time of examining your word. And I ask you to speak from the smallest child to the eldest adult in this service this morning. And I pray, God, that these messages would not be sensational, that they would not be fleshly. But God, I pray that the Spirit of God would fall upon us and that we would begin to live by taking you at your word, believing your word, applying your word, acting upon your word, and living out your word in our lives. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of your word shall ever be removed. It will accomplish that which you send it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto you, and it will not return void. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not some, not a few, not partial, but in whole, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Purify us as your people today. May we experience victory in every area in our life where the enemy has a stronghold at this moment. Be it evil thoughts, imaginations, be it jealousy, be it envy, be it strife, be it gossip, be it backbiting, be it lust, be it immorality, be it pornography, be it drugs, be it alcohol. Whatever area in our life today that the enemy has a stronghold, I pray, Father, for your divine deliverance and for the filling of your Holy Spirit in the life of every individual. I pray, God, that our people would begin to experience victory as never before in their personal walk and in their relationship and in their worship of you. I pray it according to your word, and I ask you now by the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of every sin. Take away every sin out of our life. Put it under your blood and cleanse us of it. But not only do I ask for your cleansing, I ask for your complete and total deliverance from the power of it, that it shall no longer reign in our mortal bodies, and that we might experience total and complete victory through the cross and the blood of your only begotten Son, in whose name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, Leon, for the music this morning. Thank you for the way that it has taken us into God's presence. I begin this series this morning, and I want to do something for just a minute. Let's go to slide two, Bridget. We're going to talk about the origin of things this morning, the origin of all things, including our enemy. I want you to know that our enemy is very real. I don't want to sensationalize him. I don't want to give him any honor. I don't want to give him any glory. I don't want to bring any undue attention to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? This may mean yes, Pastor Johnny, I understand. I want to magnify and exalt God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you and I as believers to grant us victory in our life over every evil thought, over every evil imagination, over everything in every area. And as we are taught to pray in the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now let's go to slide 9. So the message today is on beginnings. In slide 9, we're going to talk about next Sunday. You can write these down if you'd like to. You've got a place in your bulletin. How about your new bulletin cover today? You like a new bulletin cover? This way means yes. I deeply appreciate it. I'm grateful for it. You've got all kind of information available to you in that bulletin. It is a ministry bulletin, a ministry piece to you. You can be engaged in all kind of grow classes. Look at these four sermons for the next four Sundays as grow sermons. Make it a priority to be here at all costs, if possible. I understand we have a lot of our folk that are out sick today. I've been there, I understand that, and I'm praying for them, and I hope you're praying for them. I know that you are. I want you to know that next Sunday we will be addressing the enemy by his names and what his names imply and his characterizations. The next Sunday, which we'll be talking about his mission. What is his mission about? What is he seeking to do? Well, how is he seeking to overcome and to defeat and to discourage? Remember all those D's that your pastor talks about. And then his final place, his future. What is his future? I want you to understand. Listen to me carefully. Matthew 25, verse 41 says that hell was prepared. The lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. But I want you to also understand that man by his choice, if he does not choose to trust and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and plead his shed blood and nothing else for the forgiveness of his sins, I want you to know when man rejects Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're rejecting God's love, and in essence they're calling God a liar and saying, God, what you said about yourself and about your son and what he did on the cross is not true. My Bible says, let every man be a liar, but God speak the truth. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees of that day and time, the religious people of that day and time, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of that day and time, he said to them, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth abode not in him. And so we begin this morning with some facts. Now you can go back to the second slide, Bridget. Thank you. She follows me well. I appreciate it every Sunday. So the basis of what we are going to look at in these next four sermons is what has God in Christ done for you and I that we could not do for ourselves as believers in Christ. How can we live above the world? How can we experience, John 10:10, the abundant life that Jesus came to give us? How can we experience the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus said in the book of Ephesians, living in us? Well, I prayed some of it in the prayer that I prayed with you as I came in the pulpit this morning. Man shall not live, Jesus said, by bread alone, physical bread, but by every word, not some, not a few, not a chosen few, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. I run into these individuals every day, and to our guests today that haven't heard me preach before, you just have to understand I love my congregation with all my heart, and they love me, and they tolerate me, and put up with me, and they hear what I say, and I appreciate that deeply. Sometimes I say some things that they may not understand, but they still tolerate it and put up with it and pray for me and love me, and I appreciate that deeply. But look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say, okay? there are people today that are going to tell you that this part of the Bible and this part of the Bible and this part of the Bible and this part of the Bible, particularly they'll tell you that the Old Testament does not apply to today because it is the Old Covenant and we're living under the New Covenant, so they just cast everything away in the Old Testament. Then Jesus lied when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Hello? Hello? Let that soak in your spiritual gizzard for just a minute and begin to chew on it. Paul said all Scripture. He didn't say the New Testament. He said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and that's what we're going to be looking at these next four Sundays, the doctrine of the enemy. And from time beginning, what the enemy has tried to do and still seeks to do, and he is deceived, he is a deceiver, and he continues to try to deceive, and he's so deceived that he thinks he's going to win. I read the last chapter, he loses. And I want you to know that everybody's on his side loses too. So you do as Joshua said, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 5, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord." So you make a choice. And you make a choice how your family is going to live. You make a choice how your children are going to grow up. You make a choice of how they're going to respond. You make a choice of how they're going to make decisions in life when they get out under your protection, out in that world out there that is evil. It is a cursed world. And Paul talks about that curse in Romans chapter 8, waiting for the adoption, that is the deliverance from the curse of sin that came from the very beginning of time. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me. I want to give you three passages of Scripture that's not in your bulletin. I have been asked so that you will know. Brother Johnny, why do you put so much Scripture in the bulletin? Because I'm praying. I'm hoping that some of you are going to go home and study it. Because there's no way in the world that I can possibly cover it. Leon, I have such little ears. This thing will not stay around my ear. I do have little ears like my mama. They're little. But they hear a lot. I pray that you will take the Scriptures and that you will go home beyond this message and you'll begin to research and to study and to look for yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Preachers, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Is that what it says? No, it says for everybody. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So three verses. I know you thought I'd already forgot because I have that disease. The first verse Naomi gave me. By the way, don't you love the theme? Glowing in the dark. How to glow in the dark. Thank Naomi for it. Johnny would have never come up with something like that. He couldn't have. He doesn't think like that. And so I said to Naomi, "I need a theme for this series of messages." And so she worked on it, prayed over it, come in there with a list, and she says, "Now, have you got my email?" I said, "Yes, I have your email." She said, and I was looking at it right then. I had just pulled it up, and she asked me to look down what she had listed for me. And there were several that I liked, and I looked at her, and I could see the twinkle in her eye, and I knew there was one particular one that she liked, so I just go ahead and let her tell me sometimes. And she said, "I like the first one." I said, "Naomi, I do too. We're going to go with that. How do we live in this present evil age?" That's what Paul was talking about in all of his letters. And he wrote at least half of the New Testament under the inspiration and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. 13 books, maybe 14 books. So Naomi gave me Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Let's turn to it. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. And I want to read it for you. Write it down. You don't have it. But it's the beginning of where we are starting, okay? Most Southern Baptists look at this, and I know you all don't because you're not typical Southern Baptists. Hello? Did you all hear me? I just paid you a compliment, whether you realize it or not. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and convulsed greatly and came out of him, and he was like one dead, insomuch that many thought he was dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. All right. I want you to know, as a blood-washed, blood-bought child of God, you have been given the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in his name. You have been given, look up here, hold your Bibles up. If you don't have one, there's one on the back of the pew. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it high. That is your manual of instructions for you to use every day in your life, as you live the abundant, spirit-filled life of God, you study it so you might show yourself approved unto God. And you begin to understand then that what everything Jesus did, hold on now, this is broad, everything Jesus did, with the exception of our salvation, in showing you and I how to live the abundant, spirit-filled life, you and I have that same authority because of the Word of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Actually, verse 17, but we'll read verse 18 as well. And the 70... This is the first group that he himself sent out in addition to his disciples, whom he was personally training and pouring his life into on a daily basis. This is the first group that he sent out to impact lostness and to impact the work of the enemy and the destruction that the enemy was trying to bring. And so in chapter 10 and verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us. Notice what they said. Huh? Through our name, right? Was that what he said? Thy name. Now, listen to me. Michael the archangel, according to Jude, was smart enough not to use his name when he and Satan and his angels were in an argument over the body of Moses. And Michael said very clearly, the archangel said, the Lord rebuke you. I want you to understand, the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts decided that they were going to use the power that was in the name of Jesus in order to elevate themselves as to be some spiritual individual. And so they began to cast out demons. I want you to know the power is in the Word of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they began to cast out demons. And finally they came to this particular demon, and he jumped on them and beat them up and left them half naked. And the demon said to him, said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but in other words, who are the H are you? In other words, who are you? Who do you think you are? I want you to understand the power is in the Word of God and in the name of Jesus. It's not in Johnny Muller. It's not in you. I want you to understand the authority is in the Word of God and in the authority of the name of Jesus. It's not in your name. It's not in what you think. And there are so many isms out there in the world today that have decided how they are going to address the Word of God rather than take the Word of God, for thus saith the Word of the Lord. See, it won't stay around my ear. Maybe it'll stay around my nose. Put it around my nose. And as a result of that, church, we are faced with so much today untruth in the world. So my challenge to you, I haven't started preaching yet. My challenge to you is to begin to take God at His Word. If His Word said it, then He meant it. It's kind of like Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now look up here and don't miss this. Either that's an absolute, or John 3:16 is not an absolute, then listen to me, you have no guarantee and I have no guarantee of our salvation. God meant what he said. Now, I know you thought I forgot the third one. I said three, didn't I? Joni, I have notes, but if you noticed, I haven't looked at them yet, honey. She threatens me to take my notes away from me. Now, turn with me to John chapter 14. And I love this passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And if I go before Roma goes, John 14, 1 through 6 will be used at my funeral. In fact, the whole 14th chapter of John will be used at my funeral. Because I want you to know I have no authority and I have no power except through the Word of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that you don't either. So in John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater work. Whoa. Wait a minute. I'm going to accomplish things greater. Is that what it says? Now, most of us, look up here. Look, please, look. Look, most of us read that, but we don't believe it. You know why? Because we don't practice it. You know why? Because we've got this figment in our mind that the devil is a two-horned individual running around with a red cape on with a pitchfork and a tail. And I told Naomi immediately when she did my slides for this message, I said, I am so glad you did not use any of the slides of the mythical figure of the devil. If you ask the average person today, I promise you, start asking Christians, don't ask lost people, to describe the devil for you. They'll describe him with two horns, a red cape, a pitchfork, and a curly tail out of his back end. They have no concept of the enemy. Therefore, they are deceived to the point that he has any authority over them that he so chooses to have over them. And he controls their thoughts. He controls their mind. He controls their heart. And so, verse 13, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And the reason he does it is so that the Father may receive all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. God, let it be so in these four sermons and in all sermons, but particularly in these four. And if you shall ask anything in my name. Now, so that you will understand what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about exactly how he told you and I to pray in the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really our prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Leon, for leading us in worship just now. Hallowed, 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 glorious, mighty, powerful. You're the Almighty God. Is your name. Thy kingdom come. Most of us do not do what I in the Scripture calls kingdom praying. On the authority of the Word of God, when you pray a kingdom prayer, God is bound by His Word to honor that prayer. Because you have prayed that prayer according to His Word, and you have prayed it in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I speak only that which He tells me to speak. I do only that which He tells me to do. I don't know about you, but I want to live that way. I want to walk that way. I want 100% of my prayers to be answered as Jesus's was. And stop using the excuse, well, he was divine and I'm human. He said, I'm going to send another comforter. That other comforter is going to come and he's going to live in you. And because he comes to live in you, because he is the third person of the Trinity, and he comes to live in you, you have my word now, and you have my name. And when it is spoken to advance the kingdom, to bring glory and honor and praise to the Father, I want you to understand this morning, church, believers in Christ, saved, born again, blood-washed people, I want you to understand, as a child of God, he is your heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he's bound by his word. That's why Jesus would say, you are in my hand, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. My Father, who gave you to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. That's why we have absolute and total knowledge that we know. 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Don't wait for the preacher to tell you. Don't wait for somebody else to tell you. All right, let's see where we're at. Okay, we got 7 minutes to preach. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Now let me qualify Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 for you. Okay? There are liberal scholars out there. You can get on your computer and find them. I found them. You know what a liberal is? Somebody that believes nothing, stands for nothing, and is nothing. That's a liberal. A liberal does not believe the inerrant, infallible word of God that is truth without any mixture of error. They try to explain it away because they can't understand it, they can't accept it, they don't want to accept it. Liberals will tell you that the passage in Isaiah chapter 14 speaks to the king of Babylon. Liberals will tell you that the passage in Isaiah chapter 28 speaks to the king of Tyre. Look up here and don't miss what Pastor John is about to say. They're stupid. And I mean no disrespect when I say that. I want you to understand, listen to me. God has never, will never call a man a cherub. Much less call him an anointed cherub. So you need to understand this morning that this is the literal word of God, but God is using a human being so that you can understand what he's talking about to demonstrate the personification of evil. It would be like taking Hitler or Mussolini or Idi Amin. Some of you too young to remember any of those except in history. And the horrors that they brought to the world and to their people at their time. And so God is using, it is as if he's using a parable in the Old Testament to explain a spiritual truth. Now you know you're not going to change me. So don't even, if you send me a letter, if you send me an email, I'll appreciate it. If you take another position on it, I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, I'm grounded and settled on the Word of God. And I'm grounded and settled that this is speaking about our enemy. So we're going to read it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? I understand that the King James translators put the word Lucifer in the Bible for the shining one, the star. I understand that, okay? And I understand that that's not the real name of Satan. I want you to understand that God called him Satan, okay? And I'm like Janie French. I do not capitalize that S. I don't capitalize it. He's not worthy of having his name capitalized. Only God, Elohim, Jehovah. I want you to understand, only God is. And so here in Isaiah chapter 14, you have fallen from heaven, O son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, who didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, the five I wills. Look up here, don't miss this. Numbers are important in the scripture. One stands for God. Two stands for deity. Three stands for the Trinity. 440, 400 in that connotation stands for humility and judgment. 5 always represents grace. I want you to notice that he took the very thing that God in his mercy and love extended to you and I through his Son Jesus Christ, and that is grace. I want you to know he took that very thing, and 5 times he said, I will. Let's read them. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. In other words, where God sits in heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. You can read the rest of it. Now go to Ezekiel 28. Verse 11 of chapter 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Kir, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I want you to know the king of Tyre was not in Eden. Look up here. You need to understand the parallel that God is using by the prophet Isaiah in presenting the enemy as this wicked, wicked, wicked king. Yes, it is speaking about the king of Tyre. But if you limit it to that, then you are missing what God is trying to reveal and show to your heart and to my heart. The king of Tyre was not in the Garden of Eden. Hello? Who was in the Garden of Eden? Go home and study it if you don't know. You'll find it in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Let's read on. You've been in the Garden of Eden. It's talking about Satan. The Garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy timbrels and thy flutes was prepared in thee that the day that thou wast created. The king of Tyre was not a musical piece. Satan was the choir master of heaven. Everybody looking at me, if you're not, look. I'm going to tell you something. Why do you think he's trying to use music in churches today to divide congregations? Be careful that you don't get hung up. Well, I like. I won't. Hello? Have I hit home? Congregation after congregation today is in a battle over music. Rather than the worship and the praise and the exaltation and the magnification and the glorification of Almighty God. God forbid we get in a music war. Yes, give him glory. He's worthy of it. Give the glory to him. He's worthy of it. I'm sorry, I'm so full. Neither was the king of Tyre the anointed cherub. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stores of fire, stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that you was created till iniquity was found in thee. And you can read the rest of it. Now turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try to wind this first message up, and I haven't even touched what all I had. Whew. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Liberal scholars. Scholars that want to put everything into Genesis. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Scholars who want to put all of creation into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, the only way they can do it is build what is called a gap theory between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And in that distance between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, Satan and all of his angels, Michael, Gabriel, the seraphim, the cherubim, and all of the angels were created. I want you to understand Genesis' account of creation is all that concerns me and you. All that concerns man. For on the sixth day, and six is man's number. Notice I didn't tell you a while ago when I told you 1 through 5. Six is man's number. 7 is the number of completion or perfection. Most Baptists know that. 6 is man's number. Man was created on the sixth day. Pastor Johnny believes there were 24-hour periods of time. Don't argue with me. I'm right. Just take it and go on with it, okay? I showed the group on Bible study on Wednesday night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Jesus said, are not there 12 hours in the day? Well, if there are 12 hours in the day in John's gospel, then there are 12 hours in the night. Amen. I'm not stupid. There are all those today said, well, that's got to be 1,000 years because Peter says 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 years. Let the Bible interpret the Bible and leave it alone. In the beginning, God. So if you want to know when Satan was created, he was created in the beginning. I don't know the month and the day and the year, okay? Hello? I'm just trying to be funny there. I know he was created in the beginning. I know he was created perfect. I know he was created sinless, just like man was. I know he was created sinless because my Bible says right here in the book of Genesis that everything that God made, including Satan, was what? Good. I just read for you where Ezekiel said, until iniquity was found in you. Iniquity is the lawlessness of his mind, of your mind and my mind. Where do you think sin happens first with me and you? In our mind, and our heart says, yeah, do it, do it. So we do it. And the mind overrules and takes over. And the heart says, yes, go do it. So, in the beginning, he was created sinless. He was the anointed cherub. He was Leon Boss. Leon is the choir master of Dutch Fork Baptist Church. He is the worship leader of Dutch Fork Baptist Church. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't Leon. Leon was certainly getting him. Leon and I so joined at the heart, it isn't funny. Brother, when I looked at your music this morning, I began to sing. I said, oh God, how you have prepared for this day and for this time and for this series of messages. When you look at the adult Sunday school lesson today in Psalms 91, this is off the cuff. Go home and read Psalms 91 and the care that God has for you and I as his children. My grandmother's favorite psalm. So I knew it from way back. And so he was created in the beginning until the five I wills in Isaiah chapter 14 and until iniquity was found in him in Ezekiel chapter 28. Therefore, listen carefully, and I'm going to make this statement, then I'm closing this message. God is the only eternal, self-existing being in this entire creation. And he is the author of everything that has been made in heaven and in earth. He and the Son and the Holy Spirit, according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he said, let us. Us is the picture of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In creation, there are times in Scripture where you will read that God created. There are times in Scripture such as John 1:1 and John 1:14. In the Gospel of John, you will read where the Son created. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 16 and 17, you will read that everything that was made by him, Jesus. And then there are times that you will read where the Holy Spirit was involved in that creative act as well. Now, we didn't even cover the first page this morning. I didn't need them, Joni. I'd studied. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms chapter 42 and verse 1. How many deer hunters do we have and not ashamed of it? Raise your hand. Deer hunters. You enjoy deer hunting. And you deer hunt because you enjoy the venison. Yes, I grew up on it. Psalms 42 and verse 1, as you know, I've told you before, is one of my favorite psalms. Verse 1 in particular. The Lord uses my wife to speak to me in unfathomable ways. She was home and she was listening to a personage on television. And they were talking about Psalms 42 and verse 1. She knew that was one of my favorite verses, and so she took some notes for me. And I walked out the house this morning, left them home, so I'm going to have to present it off my memory and off the cuff. Psalms 42 and verse 7 also. The heart there is a deer. She's never heard this story. She doesn't know this story. I would never tell you anything that's not true. And for those of you that are animal lovers, please understand that Pastor Johnny is an animal lover too. But I'm only using this story this morning to try to illustrate you. Don't you love our technology? Any of you looked on the screen? I appreciate our crew up there. I appreciate it so much. They have no idea our team. The word heart is dare. D-W-R. Why do you think the hart pants after the water brook? Why do you think the deer runs? Well, any of you been dog hunters, deer dog hunters? When you jump a deer, if you jump a buck, Derek, I'll put you on the spot. What's the first thing he does? He whirls around. He throws his nose up in the air. And he catches the mist from the water. And he heads straight to the river. Why? Because danger is coming. He heads straight to the river, and I have actually seen him stop and stand up in the middle of the river. You know why? Because when the dog gets to the edge of the river, all he can do is, "Where'd he go?" And he's out there standing in the middle of the river. I want you to know there's a secret place you can hide this morning. I want you to know there's a place that you can hide that the devil cannot come near you. That he can not even smell you. And I don't smell too good after I finish preaching on Sunday morning. Thank you for still hugging me anyway. You can hide. But listen to me, and I can tell you this because I'm telling it to you for the truth, because it happened to me. Roma's never heard this story. Late one afternoon, the last day of the season, many, many years ago, I had wanted to get me a deer so bad. And I had my daddy's old Ithaca, and my daddy had never missed a deer with that old Ithaca. Never missed a deer until he bought a high-powered rifle, Michael. Shot it right under the tree and missed it. Went home, put it in the corner, and he said, "If it isn't close enough for me to shoot with my shotgun, I'll never shoot another one." And so he did. He sold his rifle to our nephew, his grandson. Went back to that old Ithaca that John has today, just like you and your daddy gave me. By the way, I put a 30-inch full choke barrel on it. I'm ready for turkey season. Y'all see my turkey bow tie this morning? How about look at my boys back there? Stand up, boys. Let them see your turkey bow ties. This is part of the message. They gave me that for Christmas. So we all agreed we'd wear our turkey bow ties today. Late that evening, way off, here went, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was a buck. Of course, boom, 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 five times. We trailed that deer for 2.5 miles. Now listen to me carefully. You know where we found it? In the river, in the mud. And you know why it was in the river and in the mud? Because the mud would seal up the wound and not let the life-flowing blood escape. That's what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross of Calvary. He bled for you and I so that the wounds of the enemy, and everyone of sitting in this service this morning has been wounded somewhere by the enemy. Run to the water. Drink of the water of life. Drink, church. Drink. Drink. Because the day is going to come when you're in the heat of that battle and the struggle is going on in your life. You have no one nor nothing else to turn to but His Word. And you can't get your hand on it here, so you better have it here. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, in Your great name, Father, the name of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's one in this service today that does not have that life-giving blood flowing in their veins from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, I pray, God, today that they would give their heart and give their life to Him. May they come publicly. Every person Jesus called, He called publicly. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. God, I pray today that no one will walk out of the doors of the front of this worship, beautiful worship center, without knowing that they know that they know that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed them and cleansed them of their sins, and that they are Your child by faith in Him and what He did for them on Calvary's cross. I pray, God, that You would strengthen this body of believers. Paul says we are not ignorant of His devices. We are not ignorant of His snares and His traps. Paul says that He goes around as an angel of light. He is a deceiver and He seeks to deceive, and He Himself is deceived. Father God, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, our people will begin to experience victory as never before. The victory that You purchased for us through Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. In Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.